This is Kelly Blewett. We're joined today by Joshua Wolf Shank, a curator, essayist, and author of the new book, The Powers of Two, Finding the Essence of Innovation in Creative Pairs. His previous book, Lincoln's Melancholy, was a New York Times notable book of 2005. His work has appeared in The Atlantic, Harper's, and The New Yorker, among others. He is also a Cincinnati native. Welcome, Josh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I wonder if you could begin by telling us a little bit about the concept behind Powers of Two.
Sure. The book began as an inquiry into this thing we call chemistry or synergy, this feeling between two people that suddenly more is possible than either could do on his or her own. And I was fascinated by that as an ingredient in creativity. If I looked at pairs like Lennon and McCartney or Watson and Crick, the co-discoverers of DNA, or the Curies, or Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, who created Apple Computer, maybe I could kind of get to the essence of that feeling of being buoyed and elevated by another's presence. As I got deeper into the subject, I saw that on top of these duos that are pretty well known, there are many cases where there are pairs who are, they're not known because one member of the partnership has been hidden by history. And very often, it's the role of one partner in a partnership to be hidden. And as I got deeper and deeper into it, it seemed that the pair was really the central unit in the creative experience. And that's what the book pursues.
You write about how creative advancement is always sort of tied up in the social world. From these great ballet dancers to physicists, creative people find critical peers whose presence makes the work stronger and better and more real and complete. But we often don't hear those stories because we hear about either the sort of lone genius or the broader zeitgeist that led to a lot of projects that were about the same sort of thing. Why do you think that is?
Those are the two stories that have been going on and alternating with each other for centuries. And there is a very particular history to it that's a little complicated, but these are the ways that we've accounted for creativity, which is really mysterious at its essence. We've told these two kinds of stories, one about it originating in these magical moments, the walks on the beach or the light bulb going off for the scientist alone in his laboratory or the great writer struggling with her manuscript, you know, alone in her attic. Then as a corrective to these mythical stories, people very often, scholars and people who study creativity say, no, this is a social phenomenon and people are dependent on their context. And so they want to look at teams and networks and whole cultures like the Enlightenment or the Pixar campus and see the way things are immensely interdependent. Mm-hmm. And the problem with the first story is that it's just not true. People, even when they are actually doing work alone, they are embedded in relationships. And the problem with the second story is that it's so complex that it's really hard to think about in terms of day-to-day life, and it really discounts the central role of intimate exchange with other people that is so much of the day-to-day story about how creativity happens.
I wondered if you could talk a little bit about some of the stories where people just have almost unbelievable commonalities, but also differences, as you say, the sort of balance. I wondered if you could maybe describe that dynamic. You say it's almost like falling in love.
Yeah. Well, the book looks to follow the arc of creative partners from beginning to end. And so I started by looking at how do people physically meet? What's the first moment that they encounter each other? There's often a kind of quickening, an excitement, that feeling of electricity that most of us have some experience with. And then the question is, well, what's really going on underneath that? And the ingredients that I saw over and over again are these radical similarities to the point that it almost seems like you're dealing with identical twins, and just profound differences to the point that it seems like you're just dealing with people almost of a different species. So Lennon and McCartney are a great example. They were into the same music. They both were extremely advanced musically. They came from this small world in Liverpool and where, you know, it was really like being in an extended family. They spoke the same way. They dressed the same way. At the same time, John Lennon was this kind of bruiser of a kid. He ran a gang. He had this very sort of muscular musical style that was very rough and You know, he would make up lyrics to songs that he didn't really know. And Paul McCartney was this, already even at 15, a perfectionist who was meticulous and studied the traditions around him and was able to really mime them and kind of be Little Richard or be Elvis, depending on whatever song he was playing. Those two things coming together are the ingredients of, and the sort of starting point of a creative journey, and it really goes on through the whole relationship, because the similarities will help people find a common vision, but the differences create that tension that is exciting and also can be vexing.
I wondered if you could tell our listeners a little bit about one of the pairs where one member was from Mount Healthy. And I'm thinking, of course, of the choreographer George Balanchine and the dancer Susie Ficker.
Yeah, that was fun for me. I grew up in Wyoming, and I feel like I could imagine her early life from her biography, in part because I know the landscape so well. She was a young dancer, you know, prodigiously energetic and ambitious and driven, and was preoccupied with the New York City Ballet when she was a schoolgirl. And she got an audition. She didn't pass, but the scout thought she was promising enough that she should go to New York for another try. And as a teenager, she found herself in the school and then was later promoted to the company of George Balanchine and became his star dancer. And he made her, he formed her. She was a Balanchine dancer through and through. At the same time, she really remade him. And for several years, their collaboration was really at the center of the dance world. They were enormously intimate, even too much so. And there was a breaking point in their relationship, and it led to this estrangement between them that's really heartbreaking when you're watching the story. And now we're able to see the whole thing from history, so we see how they got back together in magnificent fashion and were even stronger because of that break than they were before it. But it's a really gripping story, a love story, a story of creative excitement and enormous accomplishment.
Thank you, Josh. It's been very good to connect with you.
Thank you so much.
I've been talking to Joshua Wolfshank, whose new book is just released from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. It's called Powers of Two, Finding the Essence of Innovation in Creative Pairs. For more information, see our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Kelly Blewett.